Hello and welcome to episode 185 of the Saint Score podcast, where we discuss everything going on at Southampton Football Club in preparation for the season, or maybe our version of a pre-season to warm up for the new campaign. We looked at the entire squad and decided who we thought should be kept, loaned, and sold. So if you missed that episode, please feel free, go back and have a listen. However, on this instalment of the podcast, it's time to do our previews and predictions for the 2023-24 season. League position, player of the season, and surprise package will all be some of the topics discussed. But before all of that, it's time to introduce the panel. My name is Harry Tizard. I'm joined by Mikey Maidment, Jamie Allen, and Ollie Bose this week. And I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing today?
I'm very happy now you've described us as a panel. That makes us sound official, yeah. Like we should be wearing suits or something. And we're also being filmed as well, which means I'm gonna have to be on my best behavior. Where is this gonna be on? Is this gonna be on YouTube? Are we gonna be on the?
I'll just be a few TikTok clips. If people can't listen to the whole thing, they can listen to the best bits over there.
So trendy with your TikToks, blimey.
What can I say?
I'm doing well. How are you, Harry? How's things in Southampton?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It's sunny down south at the moment. I've been enjoying all the sports: the football, the cricket, the darts. Everything's been going on, so do you know what? It's not been too bad. Mikey, how are you doing?
Good. I'm about a week away from my final deadline at university, so stress a little bit, but no, it's been good. As you said, all the sport that's been happening this summer has been fantastic, so it's been great keeping up with it all, and just enjoyed watching it.
And finally, but not least, Jamie, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. I'm looking forward to the season ahead. Managed to catch most of the England game this morning. Big 1-0 W. So hopefully we can go all the way with the Lionesses, but we'll have to wait and see. Keir Walsh getting injured is not good news.
It's not. But Lauren James, she could get us the World
My
Cup.
My friend Lauren James. Yeah, met her on a short advert.
Little name drop.
But sadly, not many name drops have happened in the transfer window, in or out, part of pre-season. We've played plenty of teams. Ollie, what have you made of it so far since Russell Martin's taken over?
It's definitely interesting. I've caught a couple of the friendlies, and you can see there's some players who I think really suit the new system, the new style, and I think there's some others that clearly don't. And it's interesting. I was thinking about whether we have the players that have the potential to fit the style, or whether it is we will just need to try and recruit new people to play the system. I think it will be very interesting to see how the end of the transfer window will come about, because we know we need to get rid of players, but does Russell Martin believe he can coach his new style into the players that we already have, or are we going to have that big turnover and have the players to come in? Because I think especially goalkeeper and centre-backs, from what I've seen, I'm sure Mikey can go into it in far more detail, but it looks quite coming out of the back and playing out the back. These players haven't done it before, and I think in the pre-season they've looked quite uncomfortable doing it, and it's looked shaky at times. Quite a few opportunities where errors have just almost gone in because the strikers have closed it down and got like almost put it into an empty net. So yeah, it'll be interesting whether it will just be getting used to that and the players training up for it, or whether we do need to go and get new players to be able to play that. So yeah, interesting before the season starts, which is what, less than a week now. And yeah, so I'm a little bit apprehensive, let's just say that, but I'm also excited to see what happens and whether we improve.
So it's getting a little bit scary with just 1 week to go. And do you know what? We'll start with some of the pre-season games. Mikey, we've played against Benfica, Gaztepe, Reading and Bournemouth. Only one win in that. How do you feel the pre-season has gone so far? Ollie thinks that there's a couple of players that don't quite fit the system or seem to be struggling. What have you thought of it overall?
I mean, I haven't been able to catch many of the preseason games, but from like watching and listening to what other people have said, it seems to be definitely a process of getting this system right. There's still a lot of teething issues, like Ollie said, about playing out the back, looking comfortable doing that. And again, we've played four or five games in this system of how this looks like, and it's still very much a mix of Ralf Hasenhüttl's squad and whatever the January transfer window was. So it's still like still quite bloated, a little bit unsure on everything that's going on, and I think it's a good stance for the club to have, to say like we're going to sell at a value and this is the value that we're going to sell at. But it can also maybe cause an issue later on in the window when, if we sell these players and we have to replace them, what's going to happen there? But I think overall pre-season, it's gone okay. I don't think we were expected to beat Benfica. I think we challenged Bournemouth quite well for 60 minutes of the game or so. Reading, we were expected to beat them, and we did dominate them quite a lot. It was just the... Just struggling with transitions, like defensively maybe dealing with balls better. Bazunu making a little bit of a howler for the second goal. But like... overall, I don't think there's been any results that you've really expected and gone, wow, that's different to what I was expecting. I think majority of it has gone as I thought it would have done.
And results aren't too important in pre-season, Jamie. It's more about how the team plays. Do you feel like there's been progress from the first game against Benfica all the way up to Bournemouth? Yes, we went 2-0 down in that game, but we found our feet, it seems like, especially when Shea Charles came out from the back into the midfield and Smallbone came on. So do you feel the players are slowly getting to grips and understanding what they need to be doing?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think with Benfica, I think most of the goals that we conceded, apart from McCarthy's near posts, we don't want to get started on that, but you can tell because of like issues of the pressing side and all the passing, players just aren't used to it. Where in comparison to the Reading game, it was so much better. Because I didn't catch the ball off one myself, but I'm just going off that. It's you can see the improvements from certain players, but there's also some that's still a bit shaky and aren't quite up to their task. I think they're the ones that are being shifted off.
Well, let's have a look at that squad. Someone that came in was Ryan Manning. He works with Russell Martin at Swansea. 10 assists, 5 goals. Ollie, what do you think about his addition?
Yeah, I saw him play in the Bournemouth game and he looked very comfortable, as you can imagine. The way he was opening himself up for passes makes me feel like he knows the system that he needs to play really well. Really giving a lot of our options, and I think a lot of our build-up play came from that left-hand side because he was offering. I think the issue we had was between the centre-backs and the midfield. It felt quite difficult to get from the back up to where we wanted to go. But from what I've seen, he's looked comfortable, which I guess is what the idea is. Bringing in a player who knows the system already means we've got someone who can set the standard, I guess, and show how it's done. Also, it was a great piece of business on the financial side to bring him in, so happy in that sense as well. So yeah, from what I've seen from Ryan Manning, it looks good so far.
And another addition was Shea Charles from Manchester City. Mikey, how do you think he's going to fit in? Do you think he is going to be that direct replacement for Lavrie as well? Because in his interview with the club, he said that Russell sort of said that he's going to be playing as a defensive midfielder, even though against Bournemouth, he started at centre-back.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably where he will end up playing. I think it was a shortage on centre-halves, which is a little bit of a surprise. But we've got players out injured at the moment. I know Benarek not been in training this week due to an injury, and a couple more on top of that too. So yeah, I think that's the reason why he played there. I think also it may have been an attempt to make playing out the back a little bit more easier with someone who's probably more used to being on the ball, and then he's the one who played the across box strange switch of play pass that ended up in the first goal for Bournemouth. So that was, yeah, probably a bit of a shame. But no, he'll probably be the one who does come in and replace Lavia. Whether it'll be in the same effect of he's going to be starting straight away, I still think that's something to be decided. But yeah, no, it's another youngster from City. It's someone who's been playing in a possession-dominant style of football and someone who'll be good on the ball. He's made his first team debut against Brentford last year, and he's captained the under-21s at, what, 19, 20? So, yeah, he's someone that is going to be exciting to go and watch. Also Northern Irish too, which is, you know, you can bring back Stephen Davis vibes to that, hopefully. And if he can be as successful as Stephen Davis, then fantastic. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
There's been a couple of outgoings as well. Lianko to Besiktas didn't quite go through, actually fell through. But Orsic and Diallo have both gone out the door for a bit of cash. Jamie, what have you thought about our outgoing business and maybe the pace of it as well? Because by this time, especially with a week to go, you'd have thought that we might have been able to cut some of the squads.
Yeah, it's odd. It's Wilcock is doing a great job of saying no to clubs. There's been so many bids of players like Prowsey, Lavia, Teller, but just they're not meeting our value, and we're sticking to our guns. It's like, that's what people are saying. Like, if we had Wilcox when Danny Ings was here, he would not have left. He would have stayed, because he would not have allowed us to accept the money from him, because we'd keep him. But it's in one hand, it's a bit annoying that we're not getting the players, fresh players in, because we need them to learn the system, because they'll be here longer. But it's not, because obviously you want the new players to come in so they can learn the system, so we can have a good season. However, it's a bit annoying on the other hand, because you've got players like Lavia who are playing quite a lot, who very evidently aren't going to be here throughout the season. So what's the point in playing him over a Smallbone, for example, who is going to be here this season, rather than starting Teller, who's going to be leaving within the week? So I think I do like it on one hand, but also it can be seen as a bit holding us back.
I think that's the difficulty of the transfer window. I think there was calls and still are calls for the transfer window to close before the first game of the season, because of the fact you don't know what your squad's going to look like at the end of it. And that's the difficulty of it, is we could be going into the season with Ward-Prowse, with Lavia, with Livramento, Carl Walker-Peters, or we could be going into the season with none of them. Like, Che Adams could have gone by then as well. We don't know if we're going to have a giant turnover of our squad, or if majority of our squad is going to be the same from last season. And I think also as a fan base, I think the fans don't really know if they want that or not. I don't know if they want to have a giant like restructure of the entire squad, or whether they're going to keep the same players that were with us last year. I think that's where it becomes a difficult job for Russell Martin, is he's trying to teach this system, trying to teach the players how he wants them to play. Yet I'm sure some of them are probably thinking that they're not going to be there in the next two weeks to 6 weeks, I'm sure. And some of them won't be there in 6 weeks' time. So I think that's where the difficulty of the job comes, is that we don't know who's going to be there and who won't. And I agree with Jamie in the fact that the standpoint of the club is good, in the fact that we're saying we've got a value, we don't have to sell. So if you're not going to match the value, we're not going to let them go. But it does make it difficult when trying to decide who's going to be involved, who's not going to be involved. So yeah, it will become difficult. But hopefully what will happen is, if the club do end up bringing this £45 million in for Lavia and he goes off to Liverpool, Ward-Prowse, we get £40 million, Livramento, we get £40 million. We've got a lot of money then to hopefully bring in players as soon as possible, because we know, it's not like we don't know who out of that pool of players are going to leave. Like, we've got a good idea of what selection of players won't be here at the end of the window. So fingers crossed the club are ready, that as soon as that money starts coming in and as soon as those players start leaving, we then have that opportunity to go, right, we can step in, we can get those players that we feel like can replace the ones we're losing.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Wilcock's strategy is certainly something that it feels like it's refreshing. It's really refreshing to see players like Lavia, Carl Walker-Peters, James Ward-Prowse, Salisu only leaving if we get the correct fee. But it also feels like, you know, we're doing really well to hold off, especially with players like Tino Livramento as well. But if they all go in the last week of the transfer window, it means that we're then rushing to go get players. Even if they're listed down, other teams will think, go on, we can get an extra £2-3 million out of them. A whole core of the squad has then been taken out that needs to be replaced, that Russell Martin then needs to teach again. Ollie, can you see the positives and negatives of the whole entire situation? That maybe if we get £5 million less, we can still get someone else in that can learn the whole system with, well, what would have been an extra 2 weeks. Whereas now, if we lose Lavery and Ward-Prowse, yes, we'll get £80 million, but there'll only be a week left of the window during the season where other players are going to have to learn that system on the fly.
I know, I agree. And I think it will. The word or the kind of buzzword that Wilcox was using in the interview is value, and he talks about if the value's not there, then he's not going to accept it. And there's been some opening bids that haven't had value, and that makes sense that we've rejected them. The first West Ham bid was insulting, the Teller one as well, and so we didn't accept those. That's fair enough. The Lavia one seems like reasonable money. I think it's a £45 million package all in. That's £5 million more than we'd get from the sell on the buyback sell on clause, and that means we can go back in and invest straight away. So yeah, I want to get the players in, and I've heard things, and I don't know how reliable it is, but I've read online that apparently we have replacements lined up when the money does come in, so that is positive, but again, no guarantee. I think you're right. I think we want to try and get the players in early, learn this new system because it will take time, and start that squad overhaul as well. I also think as well, it doesn't help to have players who are distracted by potential moves. I mean, Russell Martin commented himself, I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically mentioned that Lavia's got a lot going on in his mind right now because he's probably thinking about where do I buy a house in Liverpool, not about playing whoever it is we are in a friendly. So I think it also is good to try and move the players who are clearly looking elsewhere. And if the value's not there, I understand it, but players like Teller, they're going to want to try and play Premier League football. Livramento, if he gets the offer to play Champions League, and like Lavia to play Europa League, these are all aspirations that these players want to make. And trying to focus them into a championship season might be very difficult to try and get them on board with. So if the money's there and the value is there, then I think we should try and move them on. But let's not get lowballed and sell short. Let's try and get the correct amount that we should for these players.
Is that the difficulty of the transfer window, Jamie? Is that if you're going to hold out and get a fee for a player, that's brilliant. You'll get the 50 million for Lavia, but everyone will then know that you've got 50 million, especially as a championship club as well.
Yeah, I think especially like this whole like Swansea thing, we want a lot of potential of their players, like Piero. I don't know, does that say the striker's name?
Piero.
Piero. Well, let's say that we're after him. I've heard like us, Leicester, and Leeds all want him. And the fact they know we're going to have the money in from these players, it's like that's going to make and really annoy them a bit, taking their manager, and then they're probably a bit peeved that we got Ryan Mannings as well. Like that's going to cost at least an extra 5 million just for a striker. I think would do brilliantly for us, but it's holding us back a little bit, knowing that these clubs want us and want to take all our money from us.
And I guess it's not just the desirable players that are on the lips of a lot of big teams as well. It's also the people that haven't been playing in pre-season as well, Marky. Onuachu, Perard, Bella Kotchap as well. What do you make about their absences?
I think some of it's probably down to injury. You know, Perard had a big injury at the end of last season, which ruled him out for the last 6 or 7 games or so. Bella Kotchap is always struggling with injury. He's always someone who's is either dislocated shoulder or he's pulled his hamstring or something like that. There's always something to do with Bella Kotchap. So, yeah, I think the two of them, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's interest from elsewhere. When we signed Perard, he was in the team of the season for the French League. He had a really, really good season from left back. Bella Kotchap, I know, is wanted by German clubs, German centre-half, very physically dominant, very physically strong, and that would work really well in the Bundesliga. So that it wouldn't surprise me if they have interest, but I don't think their sort of not being involved in the squad is down to that. For Onuachu, I just feel sorry for him because it's just he came in, didn't get to really play under Nathan Jones, who wanted him, and then no one has wanted him for the next 6 months of his career. No one's wanted him. So I think that one is just the sooner the better. Like, we know that we've got interest from other teams. We know we're going to lose value from his transfer that we paid for in January because it's not worked and people know that we want to get him off our books. There's been talks of him going back to Genk. There's talks of him going to Turkey. So there are clubs interested. It's just about finding the right fee. I think that is with the majority of the players we have. It's just been the ones that we don't want, it's finding that right club who's going to pay a little bit of money for him. I think with Coletta Carr, I think with the interest that he has, and maybe the reports that we've accepted a £5 million bid for him, I think that's another one where we've just sort of gone, it's not work, wages are big, let's move him on. And let's just get him gone if Russell Martin doesn't want him. And I'm sure Russell Martin would have done a probably more detailed version of our podcast and over a lot longer period of who he's keeping, who he's selling, and what he wants to do with these people. And the ones that he's selling, they're not training with the club, they're not doing X, Y, and Z. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if though the ones that you're not seeing in the training photos, the ones that you're not seeing in the match day squads are going to be the ones that will most likely leave this season.
Right, it's time for the preview and prediction part of the podcast, where we look at what we think is going to happen in the Championship for Southampton this season. And the categories are as follows: finishing position, player of the season, young player of the season, surprise package, underperformer, signing of the season. Well, it's only between two people, and top scorer. If it was like, it's going to be really difficult for us this season with almost a month left of the transfer window. Plenty of things can happen. So our player of the season might not be here by the time the window slams shuts and the whole complexion of the squad could change. But it's just a bit of fun. We'll look like fools at the end of the season, or we could look really, really smart. I mean, last season, it wasn't great for us all thinking that we're going to stay up, but that's the fun of it. And do you know what? We'll start with the finishing position, and because Jamie wasn't in the podcast last year for this episode, I'll give him the opening word. Jamie, where do you think Southampton are going to finish this year?
Championes, championes. Numero uno. We will win the league. I think we're not saying an easy win. I think Leicester will give us a good old wrestling for it, but I think we'll take the number one spot. You all laugh at me, but you watch this space.
No, it's just because I don't expect anything different from you, Jamie. I knew as soon as finishing position was even coming up, I knew you were going to put us first.
A man can dream, and I think this dream is realistic.
I'd love it if you're right, mate.
Imagine us boys doing like a live report as the trophy goes past us on an open top bus outside St Mary's. We're doing little interviews in the crowd, and I'll be like, I said this would happen.
So Jamie's emphatically thinking first place, although he does think competition from Leicester will be strong. Ollie, I feel that you're the realist out of the four of us, so maybe bring us down to earth. Or if you're a realist that thinks we're going to finish first or second, then be my guest.
We had a conversation about this, didn't we? This was a couple of weeks ago when I was down in Southampton, and your intake of breath when I said where I think we finished was not a good indicator. Jamie's not going to be happy with me this one. I think it's going to be a very tough start to the season, getting used to this new system with a complete overhaul with the squad. I think we will have a slow start, and I think that should be expected, just because of adapting to this new league. But I think we will pick up second half of the season. I think it would be realistic for us to gain a playoff place. I'm going for fifth.
He's thinking fifth. I mean, to be fair, Burnley had a slow start to the season. I think they had 6 wins in 15 and they still finished at the top. But I'd take playoffs right now if you offered it to me. Mikey, where do you think we're going to finish?
I've gone the same as Ollie. I've put us finishing in fifth. I think quite similar to him. I think it will be a slow start to the season. I think there's still a lot to get used to, especially if we're expecting this mass evacuation of the squad into different clubs. I think that's something we are expecting, and all the time that's been spent over pre-season learning what Russell Martin wants to do, it's going to be time wasted, and we've got to do it all over again with games involved as well. So yeah, I think it'll be a slow start, but something that we'll recover on. I think Russell Martin's side's always, even when he was at Swansea especially, it was always the case that they'd have a really poor start, they'd really struggle over Christmas period, and then they'd pick up and go on an insane run of form at the end of the year when they couldn't reach the playoffs. And what I'm hoping is that, because we're probably going to have a little bit more quality in the squad, and fingers crossed we can try and translate that a little bit better, we will be able to hit playoffs at the end of the year. It may be the case that a lot of teams are struggling in the Championship, maybe, and we can have that push. And we know we've seen it before, where I think when Aston Villa got promoted through the playoffs, they were 10th or 11th, like around the January, February period. And then their run of games at the end of the year pushed them into that playoff spot. So we know it can happen. And like, there's plenty of games left in the Championship when you're in January. But I think fifth place would be a good finish for us. I don't think it'll be like the perfect season. The perfect season is first with what Jamie wants us to do. And I think there is a chance that that could happen. But I think it's more likely that a slow start's going to occur, and therefore it's just going to take us out of reach of where probably Leicester will be pushing for first place. And then there's always a couple of surprises around the top six, top eight that we've got to compete with. So I think that's what will end up happening. But if we want to go and win the league, then we can go and win the league. And I'll happily accept Jamie chatting in my ear for the entire summer because of it.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet somewhere that said we didn't win the league when we had Ricky Lambert and Adam Lallana in the team. So it's certainly going to be difficult this campaign. I'm going to go a bit more ambitious than Mike and Ollie, but not quite as ambitious as Jamie. I'll say third place. I think we'll finish just outside, but I think we're going to challenge for the top two. I think we will, might, we'll have a struggling, not a struggling start, because I think our first fixtures are favourable. I think it's that middle part of the season that we might find quite difficult when the fixtures start to really ramp up and there's a lot of games to be played. And then we'll have a stronger end to the season and finish just outside, maybe 2 or 3 points. Ollie, you yourself, as the realist, what would you make of a season that we finished just outside the playoff positions? What would you think of that?
I like how I've just become the resident realist of the show. if we finished outside, I think we have a lot of disappointment on the fan side, because there are people who are very optimistic and think we are going to bounce straight back up. And I think that's also come a lot from the club side as well. A lot of the interviews coming from Russell Martin, senior members, players that have signed. That's definitely the memo that's being pushed. And I know you don't really want to hear anything otherwise. You don't want to hear them go, oh yeah, we're really going to push for the playoffs this year. Like, that's not going to go down well. So I understand that they're aiming right at the top, and that's where they're setting the level, which is fine for me, because if they're working that hard, if you fall slightly lower, then you're at least in the playoff points. But returning to your question, if we were aiming to try and go straight back up and try and win the league and we don't even make playoffs, I think that would be quite a big disappointment. And yeah, I think it would be tough to try and get the motivation to go next year. You could kind of work off the fact that we fell short and you can go again. But I think also a lot of the players that are sticking around this year are thinking we push for the league and they can play Premier League football again. I think that's the hold that we have at the moment. So players like Teller, and the ones that have those potential moves, Che Adams, the way we can try and retain them is to try and offer them, we're going to go straight back up. So to not even get playoffs could be a real disappointment. I think that could be a real bad thing for the club if we don't make playoffs this year.
I mean, you were the closest last year. You said 15th, I said 13th, and Mikey said 14th. So we're all around the same, but sadly nowhere close to where it actually was. All right, I'll return to Jamie for the player of the season. Who do you think our standout man will be this campaign?
The thing, it's a tough one considering, like, we don't know who's going to stay. So I kind of base my answer off who I think will stay. So I've gone for an Adam Armstrong.
Ooh.
A man with championship experience and successful championship experience, that is, scoring a lot of goals in that division. He knows what he's doing, and I think under Russell Martin, he can be unleashed. And I think it's not too outrageous to say, to be honest. I know my last statement of winning the league could be seen as a bit ambitious. However, I don't think this statement is, because I think Adam Marshall does have the ability in there. See, his goal against Reading was beautiful finish, and I think we can really see that and see that coming out again even more under Russell Martin.
I mean, Mikey, you put Adam Armstrong second place for your player of the season last year, of course, behind James Ward-Prowse, because that's who he had for everything. Who do you think is the player of the season for this campaign?
I did the opposite to Jamie and just went with this current squad. If we have them at the end of the year, who would be the player of the season? And I've gone for the person who I think at the moment, every single season, he would be player of the season, and he has been, and that's James Ward-Prowse. I don't see anyone different. If he stays, I don't see anyone else taking it away from him. The only other player that I put for there, and probably is another one which is just going to be not an awful shout, but a shout that's not going to go well, is Will Smallbone. Because I think if we have players in midfield who leave, especially Lavia, Ward-Prowse, that sort of calibre of player, I think he will become key to the system. He'll almost be that James Ward-Prowse replacement, being the academy lad who's going to be the one in that changing room who will be the one who's been brought up the Southampton way. So I think it'll be a big season for him as well. He's talked about it with the Athletic, saying that he wants to be a part of the squad. He wants to be part of Southampton. He's going to do what he can to become part of that first team squad. And from the football that I've seen throughout pre-season, he's been very impressive in the role that he's taken up. So I think if I'm not going to go for the James Ward-Prowse shout of it's the easiest call in the world, I'd go Will Smallbone.
I didn't know we're doing two predictions, but it's cool. I thought it was just one.
I've got to cover my back somehow, Jamie, because one of these is going to be absolutely horrendous. I know that.
Yeah, to be fair, last year we did a first and second because it is basically the James Ward-Prowse Award. If he's here, he'll probably get it. Ollie, who do you think is going to be last year? Your second place was Gavin Bazunu, so a bit of a sticky one, Lee. Last year.
That's not good.
I can't say much. Mine was Joe Arrivo, so yeah. I'm not going to say that.
All three of our second places were absolutely horrendous. Yes, they weren't great shouts, no.
But yeah, who do you think?
Who am I going to go for? I'm going to just try and go for someone who hopefully will be here at the end of the season, but I can see doing really well. I think Alcaraz could have a brilliant season in the Championship. Real exciting player in the Premier League, looked a cut above the rest of the squad that we have. So if what he says is true and he's willing to stay in the Championship and play for us, if he's willing to play the system, because he can be a bit of a maverick and not do what the manager asks, but I think he's a kind of luxury player that could fit our system really well. I think he's good with his feet. He's good at taking a shot if need be. Got a good eye. He's quick on the break. And I think, yeah, he could pick up a lot of goals from midfield or kind of sneak behind that striker and play as that kind of second striker if need be. And I can see him staying because he's kind of said that he's settled here now and wants to stay and help the team get back into Premier League. So I'm going to go for Alcaraz.
We think the same, because I put Carlos Alcaraz as well. I think he could be someone that gets 10, 15 goal contributions this season, especially because of the impact he had in January last year. I don't mind there being a bit of a maverick in the squad, in the starting 11, someone that will just take the game by the scruff of the neck if it's a 0-0 against Rotherham with 10 minutes left and we need someone to get a goal, score from 20 yards or maybe even 10 as well, because we know his finishing ability is good. I think he could be a real key player. His fitness over 46 games will certainly be tested, but like you said, because he wants to stay, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And that's why he's probably going to be my young player of the season as well. I just put that in there, two for the price of one. Jamie, who's your young player of the season?
Sam Adozie. Because I'm referencing the Reading game lock, the one most recently I've watched, but his lovely skills to get past all the Reading players and lovely jump over the ball by Chedhams and Arrivo slots it in. I think it's so good to see that, because it's the presence we saw under Ralph. The Sam Adozie came back, skillful, talented player. And I think that he could be brilliant under Russell Martin. I think it's just all the passing, the dribbling, just allow players to flow and flourish under. Russell loves to improve players. He loves having his little projects alongside. And I think that he'll be a great player for us this year.
Yeah, I think there's a few concerns that when he didn't appear in the first couple of games, he's going to be someone that was not going to make an appearance. Thankfully, it's just a small injury and he's come back. Mikey, you've put Smallbone for the normal player of the season. He's 23, so he doesn't quite fit into this category. So who's your young player of the season?
I was debating between two, because I think if we keep either of them, they would be, but I've gone Carlos Alcaraz because, again, he could be someone who comes away with double figures in both goals and assists this year. He could rip this division up quite easily, I would have thought, and be a really, really key player for us. The other player I'd would Livramento, but with the Newcastle links, I think there's more likelihood of him leaving than Alcaraz is. But no, Carlos Alcaraz is my young player of the season. I think he's someone who needs to be part of that structure in the side and someone who will operate really, really well in the championship.
And Ollie, what do you think? Are you sticking with Carlos Alcaraz or thinking of another name that could be, you know, under 21? And really
I'll throw another name out there. I think the new lad that we've signed from Man City, Shay Charles, I think will get a lot more minutes than we think. I think Lavia will go. It looks pretty imminent at this point. But I think 19 years of age, very similar profile to Lavia, but comfortable on the ball. I think he will get a lot of the ball in a Russell Martin system. And if he adapts well, I could see him fitting into the side really well. I think you can pick up a lot of confidence in that midfield position. You can get on the ball a lot. You can build, and it certainly worked for Lavia. And I could see him kind of doing the same. So, I'm not going to say Alcaraz. I'll edge my bets, and I'll go for Charles.
Right, time for some funky categories where we all seem to come up with different answers. Surprise package. Last year, I put Adam Armstrong. Ollie put Gineppo because of his win-back abilities. Yeah, not the greatest. Ooh. And Mike said he was going to go for Adam Armstrong, but changed to Bella Kotchap. So he was probably the strongest out of the three in that one. Jamie, as surprise packages go, who do you think could be a real bright spark in the championship for us?
I think I might take Ollie's little player there and go for Moussa Gineppo himself. Because I'm not saying there's a reason why we extended his contract, you know?
Captain Fantastic.
Exactly. Like, everyone's loving him as captain of the players. He seems to be a very popular player in the dressing room. And he must get minutes in the championship, surely, because there's been no links for him to go away. So he will have to play at some point, otherwise we'll waste our money. And we talk about surprise players. It may maybe have one good game. That's a surprise. Like, you could also argue that I'm winning that, you know? A Tad Nari Lee-esque. You give us that goal, awesome celebration. That's a surprise. So that's my answer. Mr. Gineppo, because he is all right at football. And maybe the championship will be his level.
Wow. To be fair, it does fit the category of surprise package. If he does really well, the first person I'm going to is Jamie and saying, well done, because, you know, got the captain's armband against Reading, one of my favourite photos that I think I've ever seen. Mikey, who's your surprise package for the season?
I just think it's funny that three seasons in a row, someone will fall into the Moussa Gineppo trap during pre-season, because me and Harry did it 2 years ago, Ollie did it last year, and I'm hoping Jamie's going to be the one that breaks the curse, but I don't know. my surprise player is Samuel Adozie. I think he'll really... I hope he really steps up from last year. Whether I think it will happen or not, I don't know. It depends on if a couple of the players stay around, if Sulemana stays around, if we have really strong options for wingers in Sulemana, Teller, Stuart Armstrong playing out there. I think the minutes that he'll get will lack, but I think if we have this exodus in like the next 3 or 4 weeks, then he could become someone who can be quite key. I know Harry saying earlier on, I think in one of the podcasts last year, of Russell Martin's dislike for one-on-one take-ons and everything is about passing, which could maybe take away an element from Samuel Adozie, but maybe that's something that he was missing in his games, was someone who'd run at players and someone who'd take people on and become that effect when he can have that. So he'd be my surprise package of someone who, if he gets minutes, maybe he could make quite a good impact in the championship and become a key player.
Yeah, I mean, something that Russell Martin's already said is the fact that certain things he didn't utilise at Swansea is because he just didn't have those things to utilise, really, in terms of like a physical attackers and having certain attributes. We've already seen that he likes Adozie, given him plenty of minutes in the two games that he's been available for. For me, it might not be a surprise package if Mikey's put him as a possible player of the season, but I'm going to say Will Smallbone, 43 games in the championship last year. We know he can do it. Stoke, 3 goals, 5 assists. He can play really all across the midfield, either in a deep position in the middle or maybe a bit further forward as well. He knows the division. I think he said himself he has adds that level of experience as well. He's Ireland's young player of the season as well. So I think he could have a real impact. And he can fit in so many different slots as well. If Lavia goes, if Ward-Prowse goes, he can fit in either position, really. So that's my surprise package. Ollie, who do you think is it going to be better than Moussa Djenefo from last season?
Well, great minds think alike, Harry. I've got Will Smallbone down as well.
Yes.
And I don't think I can do any better than explaining it yourself. The only reason I'm going off that is, like you say, that experience in the Championship and also how much he showed for the ball and had that confidence in the Bournemouth game. I think that's going to be so important in this possession style to come and look for the ball, to try and receive it, to try and play out, turn if there's the space. And he was really confident in doing so. And like you say, that experience in the Championship is going to be so important for us because there's a lot of players who haven't played that style of football that are going to have to get used to that. He played a lot of minutes, like you said, great output and looking really confident coming back into the side. So yeah, I've put him as my surprise package.
Right, now time for the underperformer. And a quote that I had from last year that I said is that I struggled to find an underperformer because of how poor we were in the 21-22 campaign. Well, how wrong was I that I could find someone who could perform worse? Last season, I think I put Stuart Armstrong for an underperformer. Ollie put Sekou Mara, just said he wasn't ready. And Mikey put Che Adams. So three players that didn't really do too much last season. And I'll start with Mikey. Who do you think is going to underperform this campaign?
Yeah, I think for last season, I think you could put many players on that list on who underperformed. For me, again, if he sticks around, I don't know if he will, but it'll be Nathan Teller. I think there's a lot around Nathan Teller. I think there's a lot of sort of hype around him saying that he's going to come and do the exact same thing that he did last season at Burnley and score many goals. If we're not as dominant as Burnley were in their Championship season, especially for the last 6 months or so, he won't get anywhere near the figures that he got for Burnley last season. I don't think it's going to be an effect the player has. I think just because we're not going to be as good as Burnley, I don't think we're going to be as good as Burnley. Nathan Teller's not going to do as well, and I think that's going to be down. I think Nathan Teller's going to be downplayed because of that. I hope he does have the same impact, and if he can get another 16 to 18 goal a season like this season, then we'd be up there competing with teams and be competing for the title. But I don't see him scoring the same amount of goals that he did at Burnley and just coming straight in and doing exactly that. Now, currently, I am thinking back to the shot he had against Reading from the edge of the box that smacked the crossbar with his weaker foot and how much confidence he must have. So maybe I'll be wrong, and I hope that I am wrong. But yeah, he's my underperformer because he's also one of the only players that I could think of who had a really good season last year.
I mean, if we're going off of hitting the crossbar, I think I'd be pretty good in the Championship, but that equals zero goals in my book. So if you got it under and into the top corner, I'd say maybe so. Just a quick one, Mikey. What would mean a good season for Nathan Teller then in your eyes? 10 goal contributions, 12, 15? What sort of ballpark are we talking here?
Yeah, I think that if he can bring... If it's just a little bit lower than last season, I'd say that's a good season for Nathan Teller. I'm not expecting him to come back and score the 18 goals he scored last season. But I think there are fans that do think he's going to come in and just do that instantly. So that's why he'd be my underperformer. I think if he can hit double figures, I think that's an incredibly successful season. Especially for the club who haven't had goal scoring wingers, haven't really had goal scoring midfielders for a very long time. So if Nathan Teller can contribute in any way, shape or form, then that would be fantastic for the club. But yeah, I don't see that happening to the extent that I think a lot of the fan base will think it will.
Right, time to ask Jamie, someone that's always positive about the abilities of players. So I think you'll struggle with this category, but who do you think may struggle over 46 games?
I it's tough because I think I don't necessarily want to say this player, because I'd love to be proven wrong, but I think it could be Bizunu, purely because of the fact that we see the errors in his game quite evidently, and it just dropped towards the last period of the season last year, and the mistakes he's made against Reading. I think he's just lucky that McCarthy's also not very good. The fact that he's still kind of probably get the number one shirt this year, well, obviously not the actual number one shirt, but number one spot. But I think if he continues how he's doing with these little errors, it really could cost us in our promotion hunt. And reluctantly, I'm going to say his name. However, I do think he has the ability to improve on that. And I do think he can be a brilliant player one day. It's just I do worry a little bit that this season could be a bit of a problem for us.
Yeah, I think it certainly could go either way. I mean, in pre-season, he's made a couple of mistakes. We know how good he is on the ball, but you don't save shots from being good on the ball. So I think it certainly is a 50-50 where he could be the best in the division, or it could be a reason that we're fifth rather than second or something like that. For me, I'm going to go Saku Mara. I'm going to go the one that Ollie said last season. I think he only scored two in all competitions, although they were against Manchester City. I feel like a lot of people think, you know, a season in the Championship, it could do him a world of good, but I've not been that impressed with the few minutes he's had in pre-season. And I also think there's players like Armstrong and possibly Che Adams above him. And I think if we lose one of those two, Adams, you know, the more likely, I think we will go out and get another striker anyway. So I think it'll be further down the list and he could find it really difficult. Ollie, what do you think about your underperformer?
I've put down Moussa Chinepo, which really made me laugh. No. Jay,
someone's
going to
be right.
either way, come end of the season, it'll be interesting to see who's right and who's wrong. But I've seen a few of his minutes in pre-season and I still can't rally behind him because I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. And even though he's dropping down to Championship level, I think his physicality will be tested. And I think he might struggle in that regard. And also, I think he's just struggled with not just consistency, but output as well. And we've had a lot of players last year who struggled with their output. But Gineppo is the one I believe in least, basically, which sounds bad. But at least players like Adozie, they show kind of technicality and things like that. Whereas I watched Gineppo do a triple step over, try and knock it to the side and fell over. And I thought, yeah, you know what? That's going to be my underperformer right there. I think it's just that constant look that he's going to like fall over and you don't know what he's going to do, which kind of baffles defenders. It also baffles me while I'm watching as well. I just don't see him doing it. I'm so sorry because I'm sure he's lovely and I'd want Jamie to be right and I want him to have an amazing season, but I just don't really believe it. And I think he's not going to survive the drop to the Championship. He's going to be my underperformer.
Ollie's been burned last season. Like he got burned by the overperformer mark.
Not again.
He just swung the complete other way.
Never again.
this will be the season that Gineppo just hits off now because we've got Ollie as underperformer,
and
Jamie as overperformer. He's
got
to do something.
He's just going to have like a middling season where he gets two goals, three assists, and he's not been that bad, but he's not been that great. Yeah, right. Signing of the season once again. I think last season there was only two to pick from. I think it was Bazunu and Ariba. And once again, this year there's only two to pick from, and Ryan Manning and Shay Charles. There's going to be plenty more additions, especially to replace the people that have gone. But as of right now, there's only two. Mikey, are you going Manning or are you going Shay Charles?
I'm going Ryan Manning because I think he'll be the one who plays the majority of the minute. Free transfer. He knows the system already. Russell Martin trusts him. It makes the most sense out of two options to pick the one who probably will play the most.
Yeah, I'll go the same. He played the majority of Swansea's minutes last year. He was hand-picked by Russell Martin as well. I guess he's the only one available on a free transfer, so it's the only one that could easily obtain. If he's rejected Premier League interest to come here, he's going to be that first-choice left-back above everyone else. And if he can get 8 goal contributions, like half of what he did last year, I think that would certainly be impressive. Ollie, who's your signing of the season?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same. He's looked quite good in pre-season so far. I think he will play more games than Shay Charles, even though I've put him as my young player. But yeah, I think Manning will be a really important player for us this season. And I think he'll be our signing of the season so far.
And Jamie?
I got to back my Northern Irish brother and go for Shay Charles. Just from speaking to some couple of friends from Northern Ireland, they rate him like an unbelievable status. Like they like say, like he's the best, one of the best players to ever play for Northern Ireland as it stands. And he's only played a handful of games for them. And I think he will absolutely burst off the scene playing for us. And I think it will thrive. And I'm really looking forward to seeing as a young player play the system that he already knows. So it's still not the exact same as Russell Martins, but the City group do play similar football. So it'll be really nice to see how he can to develop under Martin. And I'm also not saying Mannings won't be good. I just want to be different to everyone else as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They can both be very good, and only one of them can win the awards, you see. So anything can happen. Right, top scorer. Me and Mikey last season put Adam Armstrong, Ollie put Che Adams, and I think it was Ward-Prowse. So I think, once again, we all got it wrong. I think we just wanted it to be a striker to get all the goals rather than Ward-Prowse dragging us through games and still us eventually getting relegated. I'll kick it off. I think Adam Armstrong will be our top scorer. I think the uncertainty around Che Adams' future, I also don't think he's got as many minutes in pre-season as a lot of people are expecting either. I think Adam Armstrong has almost been that main guy up until the Bournemouth game. I think that was just to split the minutes. I think he could be someone that gets 15-20 goals this season and could really help us push back towards the Premier League. Mikey, who do you think it's going to be?
Top goal scorer, Adam Armstrong. I've backed him for a second season. And again, just reminding me of the Reading game, the strike gave me confidence in him that he's going to do it. I hope he has the opportunity to play as a nine. I hope that's where he will play now. I think under Ralph, he got unlucky with the fact that Brozier was brought in and he was a complete unknown entity and turned out to be a very good striker. So that sort of cut his way out of having a strike partnership with Che Adams. And then as the season progressed, we went from two strikers and he didn't really do very well. So in the next season, we played one striker. And again, he was not the one involved as that striker. He was shoved out onto the wing. So I hope this year he gets the chance to play down the middle. And hopefully that will be repaid by him scoring goals in the Championship again.
Ollie, who are you putting as our top goal
scorer?
See,
I put down Che Adams because there hasn't been any concrete rumours of him actually going yet. So I just went with who do I believe will score the most goals in the Championship. And I think Che Adams, I think he looks good in the Premier League because of how he brings other people into play. And he's always in the right place. He just never put the chances away. But I think in the Championship, the quality of goalkeepers will just be that tiny bit weaker, just so that a shot that's it won't get parried, it might get pushed into the goal, or just not being quite as tight to the corner or something like that. I think he will just get a bit more leniency. And those ones that were ones where he had to put them away in the Premier League, I think he will get that leniency in the Championship. So I could see him getting a lot of goals if he does stay with us. Also, a lot of the teams that need a striker to go and buy one from the team who finished last in the league and got that striker replaced by someone else in the January because he wasn't seen as clinical, I think it would be a really strange signing. And I know there's people who have admirers of Che Adams and stuff like that. I think Everton and Wolves, I think, are linked. And I think he would go to play Premier League football again and kind of prove those people wrong. But he's not guaranteed goals. And his value to us would be... It's tough to say because he's on his last year of his contract. But he could do one more year in the Championship. A bit like a... Okay, this is not a comparison, but the fact that Harry Kane is on the last of his I'm not comparing the two, okay? But what I'm saying is the value for us in the Championship, he could be really important to us to get promoted. And then he could go on that year, potentially negotiate a contract, depending on how it's going. So I put Che Adams to summarise. I think he's our best opportunity at getting goals in the Championship.
I mean, yeah, I think getting promoted is worth upwards of 100 million. So if we lose out on 10 to 15, but we finish one, first, second, or via the playoffs because of his goals, it's only a positive. Jamie, who do you think? You going with Che Adams or Adam Armstrong or maybe someone else?
I think I don't think Armstrong will ever be our main goal. I don't think he won't score many goals, but I think if Adams does go, I think it probably if we are lucky enough to get in Joel Piero, I'm going to say him just because I'm saying a player doesn't play for us. However, right.
I think he
can score quite a lot. So we have more quality behind him than at Swansea. Like Martin said, he hasn't got the players play how he wanted to play. And imagine if he could score that many for Swansea then, and now in a team that's got a better supply to him, he could be our top goal scorer.
I don't think I need to check, but Harry, has anyone predicted someone who's not at the club? Or is that a first?
Wow. I'm in a state of shock. Michael, you've got the mic next to you, but please
respect
continue
the game.
Whilst I get a drink of
water. I was just going to say that this will be the best prediction ever. If Jamie's managed to predict someone who's currently not at the club,
also,
then that will be absolutely amazing.
Question, what happens if he signs for someone else? If he signs for like Leicester, does that still count? Or like...
I get my prediction wrong.
Only if he scores a couple of own goals. If he scores own goals for us, and that's how we've scored this season, then we're going to do a back-to-back.
Could also be wrong. Because your player could leave, you know?
It's true. Yeah,
and who's the mug? Yeah. Not me.
That's true. This is all uncertain here, but I respect the... I don't know, what would you call it?
Just imagine Moussa Dianepo, highest assists, highest goals, next to Joel Perreault, and we win the championship. Jamie's going to be laughing at the end of the season. So
I want £50 from each of you.
No, someone's got to break the rules at some point, and I guess Jamie's just done it there. He's chucked Joel Perreault as the top scorer, and that's absolutely fantastic. Wow, right, so that's our preview and predictions done. Normally we look at the rest of the league, like if we're in the Premier League, we look at the top six, the bottom three, the signing of the season, all of that. But I'll be honest, our championship knowledge overall will grow during the season, but it's not at its strongest now. There's things like Not the Top 20 podcast and the second tier podcast if you want to hear about other championship clubs. But it's time to preview our first game of the season, Sheffield Wednesday under the lights at Hillsborough. We start the entirety of the English domestic game away from home in Sheffield. Mikey, what do you think about the game coming up? Because Sheffield Wednesday, they're a team, they're really struggling at the moment in terms of trying to bring players in. I think they've brought in a couple over the last few days, but after Darren Moore left and now Zisco Munoz has come in, it could be really difficult for them.
It could be. I mean, Zisco Munoz, was he at Watford at some point? I know every manager's been at Watford, but like he was someone who was at Watford. No, I think it is a difficult time for Sheffield Wednesday, because even though there should be jubilation in the fact that they're back promoted and they're back in the championship, it's an interesting one where it feels so different there than it did when they did go up. Like Darren Moore seemed to have, like, especially with the 5-1 win at home to Peterborough and how they got promoted in that story, you always think that surely there's only good coming from this, but it seems like that they've not done that much. I think they've recruited kind of well. They've got Ashley Fletcher in from Watford on loan. He's still playing football, and like the ex-Man United striker, he's come in. And they've also brought in Reece James, who's not the Reece James from Chelsea, but he's from Blackpool. But no, they've not recruited many players. It's going to be a very similar squad that they played. They played last season in League One. As Barry Bannard is probably still going to be their standout player, and I think that's just due to his drive and his attitude on the field. I think that's something that he helps carry Sheffield Wednesday forward for doing that. To be honest, when they came down and they played at St Mary's against us in the League Cup, they were very impressive. They were a very impressive side, very physical, kept the ball very well. But I know it's going to probably change due to the fact that they've changed manager. You can expect that because it's a Friday night, it's Hillsborough, it's under the lights, atmosphere is going to be fantastic for the first game of the season. So you're going to expect that Sheffield Wednesday are going to be up for it, and they could cause an upset because we are probably favourites for this game, having just been relegated from the Premier League. So it'll be interesting. I'll find it interesting watching, seeing how well we do, how Sheffield Wednesday have changed from last season, and just sort of understanding, is this going to be a point where we go, this is how our season is going to go, or is this going to be like a starting point on hopefully a building project that we can continue to get stronger and stronger with?
Yeah, I think a lot of neutrals think it'll be an easy victory for us. You know, look at the market value of both squads on Transfermarkt, and I think there's a 300 million euro or pounds difference. I can't remember how they value it. Euro. But it's not quite as simple as that. Ollie, when you look at Leicester, when they won the league, The season after, they played Hull City in the first game, a team that didn't even make a sub during the game, and they lost on the opening day. Now, look, we've not won the league. We've just come down and, you know, Sheffield Wednesday have come up. But it feels like almost a similar sort of situation there. You know, the stereotypical David v Goliath. It's not going to be that easy, is it?
No, I don't think so at all. And I don't think people should go there expecting it to be an easy victory for us. They're going to have, like Mikey said, a tight knit of players who've played all with each other. And even if there is a system change, they're still going to have a brilliant understanding. They just got promoted. They'll have a great chemistry. And then compare that to us. We've got quite a bloated, disjointed team learning a new style. So we're going to have a tough time coming to terms with that and trying to find our identity. It will take a while. And their fans might get on the back of us. You think the fact that we're going to be playing out the back, we're going to be pressurized, we're going to be slightly uncomfortable playing this new style. So it could be a really difficult place to go. I'm not expecting us to go out there and win. I think it will be slightly cagey because no one wants to go and lose that first game. But similarly, we do have a big allocation. I think, I don't know how many we've got, but it's a big stadium.
Over 3,000, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they added an extra few.
There's a lot of Saints fans making that long journey, and hopefully they should be able to get behind them because, yeah, like you said, big numbers. And everyone wants to see us start well for the first game of season. I think it will be okay. I'll save the score predictions until the allocated segment, don't you worry. But yeah, I think it will be cagey, and it definitely won't be an easy game for us. I think it will be a challenge, and it'll be interesting to see how the players respond to that challenge.
And Jamie, from the parts of pre-season that you've seen so far, I'll ask all three of you, is there anyone that you absolutely want to see in the starting 11? Because there could be a lot of changes between now and, you know, next Friday. Players could leave, players could go. But out of the people that are guaranteed, almost, because there's no guarantees, but out of the people that are almost guaranteed to be here, who would you choose?
I think definitely Ryan Mannings has to be one of the first names on the list, just because of the fact he knows the system. And it's considered, like I said, like Ollie was saying, it's a disjointed squad at the moment. We've got not everyone knows the system and can play it very well, if we're being honest. So we need a player who knows it, get the head down and just play football. So other players will be thinking, maybe even stressing about how they're doing with their passes, where it's just ingrained in him from the last year. And he knows the league. And it would just be good for us. I think it'd be nice to see a player who is confident in the system, because we over the last season, three different managers, all the systems all over the place. Nice to see a player that knows what they're doing.
Mike, are there any particular players that you want to see? Jamie, you mentioned Ryan Manning. Is there any little wild cards or maybe just solid picks that you'd absolutely have in there?
I'd like to see Will Smallbone start. I think he's had a really impressive opening to pre-season, and it'll be interesting to see. But I'm guessing AZ on Saturday is going to be basically the lineup that we're going to go for, I would have thought. But there's a couple that I can list of, and like Sam, Amo, and Wayu, which I think everyone's got to get better at saying, because I still don't know if that's the right way of pronouncing his name or not. He has looked so impressive this preseason, and he's someone that I want us to get minutes to. He was the one next to Sam Adozie who I was going to put down as young player of the season, but I didn't want to because I don't know how much minutes he's actually going to play. But the bits and pieces that I've seen from him has been fantastic, and I'd love to see him get involved and be in the squad and having those opportunities to go out and play. And I think some players who have been forgotten, like Dom Ballard and players like that, who haven't had as much time in pre-season, I think they're players that if we do lose some people towards the end of the transfer window, maybe they could be the ones who step up for the new season.
Do you think that was also a problem that of last season, though, that we put so much faith into the youth, and that could also cause a problem or a level of friction that some fans would love it, but some fans think, come on, we're making the same mistake as we were last year?
There were many mistakes last year. I think it was just that I don't think it was the only mistake was the fact that we were signing 21-year-old players, because we still had Joe Aribo come in, who's played European football and got to a European final. We had Coletta Carr come in, who's played Champions League football. It wasn't like we only recruited for 21-year-olds, and the 21-year-olds we did bring in did all have previous experience of football apart from a couple, and the one who didn't have previous experience of senior football was the best one and the one we're going to get £50 million for this transfer window. So I don't think that was the singular problem of why last season didn't work. I think you can put that down to multiple issues that I'm sure I can talk for another hour or two about. and I will if you want me to.
Just listen to any of the five previous podcasts.
Yeah, listen to anything and hear me moan. I think those could be players that may be given a shout if it does come to it, if we do run out of time in the window, and we'd have to. But I think there are a couple of that group who won last year, the 23s, as like 17 and 18-year-olds, that can step up and make a difference. I think Cammy Doyle also being one of them too.
Right, Manning and Smallbone have been picked. Ollie, who would you have in that starting 11?
I think the players that we've put for our awards have to play. I think that's only fair. Yeah. I was thinking about it, and I mentioned earlier about players who wanted to, you know, are 100% committed. So I'd be surprised with Lavia, considering how close he is to a move. But I don't think Ward-Prowse is, there's been a concrete offer there that it may have swayed, you know, because it looks like West Ham are not willing to put much money up front. And a player of his quality in that first game of season could be so important to us. I mean, imagine the set piece deliveries, the potential for free kicks if they come up. And I don't think Ward-Prowse is one to be derailed from with this potential transfers. I think he's a model player for this club, and I think he would get his head down and put 100% in, because that's the sort of player he is. So if Ward-Prowse is not gone by next week, which I doubt it, I think his importance in the side will be, you know, it'll be paramount. So I think if we can play Ward-Prowse, I think he's got to play for me.
Right, for the first time this season, it's score prediction time. There's at least 46 more of these to go, if you include cups as well. But score prediction time. I'm going to start it off. I'm going to say a narrow 2-1 victory. I think Sheffield Wednesday will get the first goal. The crowd will be up, but I think quality will prevail and we'll just about get that narrow 2-1 victory. Maybe a second goal in the 85th minute and silence the home fans. Jamie, what do you think the score is going to be?
It is really tough because I think this has it written over that we lose our first game. But I think maybe a 1-1 draw. Because I said it. We haven't got the players to in the right system. And I'm being realistic about Ollie, I don't think we can win the league. It's like Burnley, like Harry mentioned previously, Burnley had a very, very slow start to the season. They still came back and won the league. And I think we will have a similar thing. And I think that's why it'd be a good game and end in a 1-1 draw.
And Mikey, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it'll basically be how you two have described the game, where we're probably going to be on top of like a majority of it, but I would have thought the first 20-25 minutes is where Sheffield Wednesday will dominate and the crowd will be really up for it being under the lights and on a Friday night. I can see us coming away with a 2-0 win. I hope clean sheet just to start the season, have Mizunu keep a clean sheet. I'm guessing he'll be the one that starts. But hopefully a clean sheet, something to build on, couple of goals will be nice, and fingers crossed Sheffield Wednesday won't cause us too many problems. But you just don't know with it being first game of the season. It's almost like this is being treated as a cup game nearly, where like there's a real underdog, a real like someone who should win this game. And yeah, there's going to be a bit of like Sheffield Wednesday fully up for it, wanting to win this game and everything like that. But we will be too. We want to get our campaign off to the perfect start. So hopefully a clean sheet and a 2-0 win will be a fantastic start for us.
And Ollie?
I'm not going to be as confident as Mikey. I mentioned earlier that I think it will be a bit shaky. I think we will give chances away and I think we may be punished. I'd love us to get a clean sheet. That'd be brilliant. But from what I've seen in pre-season, this is still a work in progress and I think we will concede goals. Mikey is shaking his head. He's not happy, but I would be happy with a draw, which I know is not the great way to get the season started, but I think both teams will take a point. I think there will be goals. I think it will be a 2-2 draw.
And you know what, if you offer me a 2-2 draw right now, I'd probably take it. Just don't start the season at the bottom of the table, because that's what would happen. It's on a Friday night, we'd be 24th and they would be first. Right, that's all we've got time for this episode of the podcast. We've done our season previews and predictions. We've looked at how pre-season has gone so far, and we've done our predictions for Sheffield Wednesday versus Southampton. My name is Harry Tizard, and I've been joined by Mikey Maisman.
Goodbye.
Ollie Boast.
Thank you for joining.
Jamie Allen.
Thank you for listening to the first Championship episode.
And we'll see you next week to review the games against Sheffield Wednesday and Gillingham as well as preview our first home game against Norwich.